in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours. Four more to go here on a big Lugowski. If you want to get on the lines right now, we're going to talk about the Mets coming up in just a little bit. As obviously on Friday, I woke up to the news that Carlos Mendoza had been fired. David Stearns then met the media later that day. Steve Cohen, according to Steve Cohen, is expected to speak soon. So I would imagine, just guessing, in the next, I would think, week or so, we'll hear from Steve Cohen after not just me, but my positive Tommy plea. Evan, Craig, I heard a couple people talking about Steve Cohen should meet the media, and totally agree with them. As I said it, you know, multiple times throughout the year, that Steve Cohen needs to address his audience, needs to address the fan base, and needs to address everybody, not only about what has happened, the state of the franchise, but also going forward, because it's open season on the Mets. I mean, all you got to do is log on Twitter, and every day it's something else. And the owner needs to come out and have a strong, unified front. Talk about Stearns. Talk about the managerial situation. Talk about the state of the team. Talk about prior decisions. Talk about current state, future state. Try to cut through some of the narratives that surround this organization, and Steve Cohen in particular. I think that would be very, very helpful, and it sounds like that's going to come to fruition as Steve Cohen, according to Steve Cohen on Twitter, is going to speak soon. So we'll get into all things Mets coming up here on the show, but it's Yankees for the first hour. Look, I thought it was the worst loss of the year on Sunday night. Thought it was the worst series of the year. I still think the Yankees are going to the World Series. They're still the best team in the American League, but in the little picture here, small picture, in the bubble that is this past weekend, this four-game series, it was a just really top to bottom, a bad, 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 bad weekend. Bad defense, bad pitching, no offense. You finally fight back on Sunday night and take a lead in a game that, if you can get that game, it just changes the whole vibe of the weekend. Now you took one game, and you did it in dramatic fashion. You battled back in the ninth inning after you were getting no hit by Sonny Gray going in the eighth. You battle back off Chapman. You take the lead in 10. And if you're slammed down the door there, you have an opportunity to get out of there not getting swept. And you face a Tiger team coming into town that is offensively challenged. And a team that you could probably pick apart at home. And then all of a sudden, you're off to the races again, and before you know it, it'll be the Rays looking up at the Yankees. Now, you got swept, you're two games back at Tampa, and you just took a very big gut punch, so now it's more of that psyche with the Yankees, where they need to dig deep, so to speak, and recover from a loss like that. I think the non-day off actually helps them. I think the fact that the Yankees are playing on Monday night actually is a benefit to them. Because it's not sitting there for a day or two marinating. They get right back on the field in front of their home crowd and against a bad team. And they can, and listen, they played a bad team this weekend, but still the rivalry between the Yankees and Red Sox, weird things can happen when these two teams play. The Tigers are very disappointing this year, very. And they should be a team that the Yankees take advantage of. Obviously, the Yankees have done very well against the American League Central, so it's just what the doctor ordered coming off a weekend like they did. Let's go to Tom in Valley Stream here on After Hours. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom, you're Tommy. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to know from that Yankee fan that wanted Boone fired, who are you hiring?
Right. I think it's, you know what it is? It's, you know who they're hiring? Anybody but Boone. I don't know if you've heard of that manager. He's called Anybody But Boone. I think it's just they want change for change's sake because they are tired of looking at Boone. They're tired of hearing Boone. They're tired of him chewing gum. And yeah, look, he hasn't won a championship, and obviously that's what you want out of a Yankee manager. So I think it's just more of Boone fatigue than it is anything else, because really he's done a good job this year. I mean, considering all the injuries and where they are, I think Boone has actually been a good manager this year. I think it's just Boone fatigue.
If that's the case, if you do make the move, you might be sorry.
Yeah, it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't. And that right. was sort of my I was arguing with a Met fan last week about David Stearns, and I threw out the Mad Dog line, what you just threw out, is who you're hiring. You know, it's easy to just say, fire this guy, fire that guy, get rid of this person. But and look, it's not necessarily our jobs to have a backup plan, but when you don't have a backup plan, you need to come up with one. If you can present one, then we can have a discussion. But when it's just firing for fire's sake, it's like, well, organizations have to have a plan. They have to know who they're going to hire, especially middle of the year, a team that is two games out of first place firing their manager.
I agree 100%. And I think that, you know, Yankee fans should, you know, take a look at where they've been with this guy. You know, only one team out of 30 wins the World Series every year.
It's not easy to do. And I hear what you're saying. Obviously, the standards for the Yankees are through the roof because of the history. And Aaron Boone has been able to keep the line moving as far as regular season wins, getting them to October, something the Yankees have been seemingly doing routinely since the early to mid-90s. But he hasn't won that championship. But to your point, it's hard. I think a lot are accustomed to the dynasty years. And yeah, you seem to think that you can win every single year. But at some point, though, Aaron Boone, the fact that he hasn't won a championship and he continues to keep his job is a little bit puzzling. It's a little bit of a head scratcher. But year in and year out, Tom, the Yankees have a great opportunity to win a World Series. They could certainly win one this year. And then that would, in my mind, validate the Aaron Boone run as Yankee manager.
Agreed. And like we said, you know, who you hiring, who's available. Is there definitely someone better than Boone available right now?
They could do something nuts and just hire Mendoza. That would be fun. I mean, you know, they could just go crazy and just fire. You know what I mean? But no, you want to bring Girardi out of the booth? I hear what you're saying. They would probably promote within. They're clearly not getting rid of him, obviously. But to your point, Aaron Boone just has such. I think part of the running it back was also Aaron Boone. I think the chemistry and everything that they've built with the culture of this clubhouse and locker room. And look, I'm sure Aaron Judge loves him, and Aaron Judge has a ton of say. I think they're very comfortable, this team, and perhaps too comfortable, but they're comfortable with their surroundings, and Aaron Boone is a big part of that. So he's not going anywhere, and yeah, I don't... Look, Alex Cora's out there, but Alex Cora's not taking a job in the middle of a year. Now, I will say this, Tom, if you want to have a chuckle, but it's true. If the Yankees go to the World Series and lose, I guarantee you, within a couple of days, maybe not even, a couple of hours, somebody calls up and says, why don't they hire Alex Cora and get rid of Boone? So Yankee fans are always looking to get rid of Aaron Boone. But yes, in the offseason, Alex Cora would certainly fit the bill of somebody that's better than Aaron Boone. That's available.
Thanks for the good time, Tom. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it, Tom. Great name, by the way. And we'll get into Alex Cora coming up in a little bit. But yeah. Right now, you could hire Carlos Mendoza. Boy, that would be a story. Yes, we have taken a couple of Aaron Boone needs to be fired calls, not just in general, but there are Yankee fans that have called up the show already that want Aaron Boone fired by Monday morning, which if you're keeping score, that's 7 hours from now. Unless you think the morning is, I don't know. For me, when I do these overnights, the morning starts as soon as I see Jerry or Rami, or back in the day, a month ago, Eddie, Al. When I start to see the morning show guys arrive, that's to me when it's the morning. Right now, it's either somewhere between the evening / overnight, late night, but the morning would be 4, 5, 6 hours from now. But that's, according to some of our callers, the deadline for when they want to see Aaron Boone be relieved of his duties. Yeah, I don't see that happening. Let's go to Richard in Manhattan here on After Hours. What's up, Richard?
Tommy, before this series started,
yeah,
the Red Sox had 12 home wins.
Amazing, right?
They were the worst home record in baseball. 12
to
25.
I know they're bad, but that's a crazy stat. I thought it was 13, but either
okay,
way,
no,
12
I didn't 13 finish.
Going into...
Finish.
No, I'll let you finish, but that is... They're horrible. They fired their manager, but it's when you hear that stat, it just shows you how horrible the Red Sox have been all year to only have 12. I think it was 13, but either way, 12 or 13 home
12.
Wins. 12.
In three months. 12 home wins in 3 months. That's 4 wins a month.
Huh.
They won 4 games in 4 days against the Yankees at home.
Go figure.
What they did made the Yankees look terrible 3 out of 4 games and then win the fourth game was a longer shot than when the Knicks were down 2-1 to Atlanta and someone said the Knicks are going to win the playoff. I'm telling you, this was a longer shot for the Yankees to lose these
four games.
For
the Yankees to get swept. Yeah, I didn't look at the odds going into the weekend, but you would have gotten sick, crazy odds on that.
For the worst home record team. And Boston has 2 all-star pitchers on their roster, both ex-Yankees, Sonny Gray and Aroldis Chapman. They may even have a Hall of Fame pitcher on their roster, Aroldis Chapman. Mm. We don't know if the Yankees do. We don't know if Cole is a Hall of Famer.
We certainly
know there's only one Yankee pitcher going to the All-Star game, and that's Schlittler. I don't think Bednar is going.
Yeah, I mean,
he might.
I mean, he's pitching great now.
And I don't think the Red Sox are sellers. I don't think the Red Sox, this will give jumpstart them. Their fans must be going wild now. How could you not? 4 straight from the big bad Yankees were supposed to be the toast of the American League, and they were. Until this series. So this is more gut-wrenching than almost as gut-wrenching as the happiness we derived from the Knicks playoff win.
Yeah.
Really, this is terrible.
I would say
this is bad.
The two gut punches for the Yankees now, they responded well after the first one. The one I'm thinking of before this was obviously Tyrone Taylor off Bednar to lose that series to the Mets, the first round of the Subway Series. Same thing there, a rivalry. That was a gut punch, but the Yankees responded. And then this one, to not only get swept in 4 games, Richard, but to have the loss the way they lost tonight and to lose in the manner in which they did, to battle back after being no hit for almost 8 innings, to take the lead in the 10th inning, to get the 2 runs off of Chapman in the 9th, and then to lose that game, that is a gut punch on top of a gut
punch.
Tommy,
did you listen to the game? Did you listen to Dave and
So I watched.
Susan?
I watched the Travelers Championship for the first 4 innings. I'm kidding. Obviously, I was able to find the game, but a lot of people couldn't. So I watched the game until I left my house, and then I listened to Dave and Susan for the final couple innings when I was driving in.
So did you hear when Susan laced into Jazz?
Yes, called him selfish.
Jazz Chisholm for getting selfishly thrown out.
Yes, she's
that
right.
That was great.
She's 100%
spot
on.
That was great.
She's right.
I'll tell you what. This is a big change in listening to radio now than 50, 60 years ago. You never heard an announcer do with that. That's fantastic now.
Great.
And
no,
she
I agree.
Was great.
Yes, absolutely.
He said he was selfish. You can't do that.
100%
shorthanded anyway.
Yep, correct.
The umpire gave him plenty of chances. Just walked back to the dugout. And this guy is such a schmuck.
You got to know your situations, Richard. You just have to know that you're shorthanded. You have to know that you could get ejected here, especially if you use, you know, potty language, and you just got to be smarter. Now, look, Jazz has also been criticized for his ABS challenges, which also could be a form of selfishness. And I got to admit, I defended him with the lollipop. I didn't think it was a big deal, and I still don't. But situations like this, you can't get ejected. You have to be either less selfish or smarter in that spot because you cost your team. And Susan or whoever else would criticize him in that spot, yeah, you're spot on. It was a bad move by Jazz.
The Yankees are not smart. Yesterday, at the end of the game, Bellinger against Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah.
11 pitch at bat. 11 pitches. Now, Chapman is known to implode. So Dominguez is up next. And what does he do? The first pitch, he flies out, game over. He wouldn't even take a couple of pitches from Chapman after Chapman threw 11
I hear you. And I think back to going back to the Subway Series again, when Manaea had that long bat against Volpe, which maybe was like 12 pitches, and then Wells swings at the first pitch after that. You got to know
That's
situations.
Right.
You got to know when a pitcher is on the ropes. Now, I get it. Chapman's a great pitcher. You want to jump on him early because you get a cookie, but every situation is different there. And in that spot, I agree with you. You got to be a little bit more selective. And the Yankees, sometimes they die on that sword of not being selective and not being situational hitters. And that cost them this weekend. Really,
I don't think they had one stolen base. Tommy, I don't think they had one stolen base in the fourth.
Caballero stole a base in the ninth.
Oh, okay, that's right. One base in the four games. Yep. Boone should have been doing something.
Well, they didn't get on base a lot either. They didn't hit all weekend. They really had a bad... I thought, Richard, it was the first weekend where they missed Aaron Judge. It was really the first time where I was like, yes. Aaron Judge's presence was missed. Rice wasn't good, and you really felt like, man, Aaron Judge is not around, which is a credit to the Yankees, because when you lose Aaron Judge, should be affected by it.
They were 13-8.
Yep.
They were 13-8 before.
Oh, that's great. Without Aaron Judge, you signed for that. Yeah. Well, 13-8 without Judge, I think you signed for. But
that's great. Great. And now they lost four straight, so they're going to have to bounce back.
Yep.
Tommy, always a pleasure. Yep. Thank you.
You too, Richard. And I think they will. I mean, they're playing Detroit. Now, to be fair, I thought they'd clean up against Boston this weekend. I did not see this coming. Who did? I did not see a bad weekend coming the Yankees' way. A worst case, I thought they were looking at a split. And then for sure, I thought they were winning on Sunday night. For sure. I was certain they were winning. And this is before they tied the game. I could just tell the narrative and where it was going. Oh, they're getting no hit, the Yankees. Oh, they're going to get swept. Oh, this is a brutal weekend. Oh, this is an atrocious weekend. And I said all along, if the Yankees can get another base runner, because remember, Gray had walked the batter, so if they can get another base runner here, he's going to be out of the game, walk or hit. They might have let Gray pitch to one more batter if he walked the guy, but it was getting to that time where they were looking to pull him. And obviously the Yankees, Rosario gets a hit, Gray out of the game, and I figured Yankees are going to win this game. They tie it off Chapman in the ninth. Now, Abreu played a part in that as he just... And he's a great fielder. I think he's won a gold glove, but I don't know what the hell you're thinking about there. You're throwing the ball to nobody, essentially. Just get the ball to second base. The runner going to third means nothing. Caballero means absolutely nothing. His run is irrelevant. You're up two runs. It lets Volpe get to third. And then obviously Paul Goldschmidt, who's Babe Ruth against left-handed pitching, didn't hit the ball over the fence, but he did make contact, and he made contact enough to where he put a ball in a place where you couldn't get the out at home. Goldschmidt was obviously safe because they attempted to throw Volpe out at home. The Red Sox did, and Volpe, great slide, too. He was safe. And then I figured, all right, the Yanks are in business. Even if it's not this inning, they'll get him in the 10th. And it all lined up that way, and then it's like you're watching a movie and you get an M. Night Shyamalan twist. That's what it felt like. It felt like I'm watching this movie, I know exactly how it's going to end, or I have my theory on how it's going to end. And then all of a sudden you get this twist ending that nobody saw coming, which is the Red Sox win it in the 10th after the Yankees score two in the 10th. Usually you score two in the 10th, top of the 10th or top of the 11th, anything in extra innings. You feel really good about that. Zero runs, you're screwed in all likelihood. One run, pins and needles. Two runs, you feel like you're in good shape. Meanwhile, Aaron Boone after the game, and this is going to get a lot of play. Talking about the losing streak and not letting it snowball. That's what we do, baby. You got to love this stuff. We got a really good freaking team. We played crappy on this trip, kind of.
Okay.
And part of it, let me get the quote a little bit better because they kind of cut that one up a little bit. It's the full quote is, that's what we do, baby. You've got to love this stuff. You got to eat this stuff up. It's a sickness. That's what the grind is. And then he went on to say that we played kind of crappy. But yeah, you did. Really across the board. It was just a rough weekend. Tom is in Bergen County here on After Hours. What's going on, Tom?
Tommy, hey. I'm so privileged to talk to you. I really enjoyed your meteoric rise.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, Tommy.
Would you say meteoric, I would say, was probably more like slow and steady, but I appreciate that nonetheless.
Predictable from some, despite the... conflict from others. Either way, it's great to talk to you tonight.
Likewise.
Real quick, I just think that, I know that a roll of toilet paper or a plastic cup could possibly manage the Yankees.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get Robbie and Phoenix to pick Aaron Boone over inanimate objects. So far, inanimate objects are undefeated against Aaron Boone managing the team.
And you know who else is undefeated is Father Time and Mother Nature. Mm. And there are no right-handed hitters of note for the Yankees right now available that I think you have about $80 million of right-handed hitting on the bench, and the paper cup or the roll of toilet paper would have the same problems as Aaron Boone.
You
can't face four lefties or whatever, a steady diet of lefties, and have no righties, especially when two of your righty hitters are basically going to the Hall of Fame, it's just hard to manage that way.
Yeah, the injuries are the injuries have been something that I think finally caught up to the Yankees. To their credit, they've played really well this year despite having a ton of them. And this was the first time I thought all year where you really truly missed. Now, obviously, Judge was healthier earlier, but this was the first weekend you miss Judge, you miss a Stanton, Grisham, and it's. You know, and that's where you need other guys to step up, and you have a couple of dead outs there. I mean, Austin Wells is just dreadful.
Not yet, correct.
Just not the answer.
You get nothing out of the catching position, and then you know Dominguez is hit or miss, and Volpe is hit or miss.
Yeah.
It's not all Boone. It is not all Boone. Sometimes it is Boone, and hopefully it's not Boone in October. We don't need that. Boone's not Mattingly. Boone's not Willie Randolph. You know, the Yankee thing is not there story-wise, but Boone did hit that big homer in 2003. But when Boone wins for the Yankees, it's going to be okay. Hopefully that happens.
Yeah, I think that you can get on Aaron Boone certainly for a lot of things he does managerial-wise. I don't think this weekend was one of them. It really boils down to October with Aaron. He's got to win a championship. He's got to. Just for the eyes of the fans. I mean, as far as the eyes of the organization, it seems like they're so extremely set on him being the manager that barring catastrophe, he's going to keep his job. But in the eyes of the fans, yes, Aaron Boone has to get this team over the hump. And even then, you might have some Yankee fans that are detractors and say, Aaron had nothing to do with it or whatever the case may be. He may never be able to win the court of public opinion, but for his own sake, he's got to exercise a lot of demons come October. And he's going to get a great opportunity this year like he does every year because I think the American League is not very good.
And hopefully the Yankees are healthy enough that those veteran big contract Yankees are available to go through that. You need Fried. You need like that. What they did last year in Toronto, that was not a good series. And then you go back to even before that.
You brought up Fried. I mean, his start was inexcusable in Toronto. He was awful.
And so, you know, I want to take Boone off the hook a little bit, right? But at the same time, you know, what was the Dodgers World Series? That was kind of Boone. And then what was last year?
Oh,
was
definitely.
Not kind of
the
Boone.
Dodgers World, right, the Cortez Hill decision really flipped that series. If nothing else, the Yankees would have had a much better shot of winning that series and that chance. And also, too, in Game 5, Judge dropping a pop up, Cole not covering first base. Those are the fundamental things that sometimes plague these Aaron Boone managed teams. So you could argue that was an Aaron Boone, you know, fault there because his team sometimes can play a little sloppy baseball. You saw it over the weekend. But yeah, that game one decision really flipped the series. You know this in sports. If in a series, if you can get game one, a lot of times out of 10, you're going to win that series. And if the Yankees had won that game, especially on the road, in all likelihood, we could be having a different conversation right now about the Yankees and Aaron Boone.
If the Dodgers called it, let the Yankees play Yankee baseball, where they kick it around.
Yeah, I know.
Then that's a known entity, and that can't happen. And I want to, as a Yankee fan and as a Boone fan, we give them a chance to not let that happen again because it already happened once. And Tommy, thanks for letting me talk, man.
Yeah, you got it, Tom. And the bad thing about being Yankee manager is the scrutiny. Obviously, you're always under the microscope. The expectations are through the roof. The great thing, besides the fact that you're managing the Yankees, is also you have all these opportunities. Aaron Boone gets so many bites at the apple. You know, most managers, if they had what happened to Aaron Boone in Game 1 in 24, which I think he still defends that decision, most managers with the track record, they might have been shown the door, or they might not get another opportunity at redemption. But when you manage the Yankees and you're in it every year and you're a favorite to win the World Series every year, you seemingly always have another crack at it. And Aaron Boone is going to get, I believe, another crack at this. And this is where, and you brought up health as well. Look, it's hard to predict these type of things. You obviously want to be healthy. I mean, a big part of the Knicks' run this year was the fact that everybody was healthy. The worst thing they had to deal with was Mitchell Robinson and a broken pinky, which is not a huge deal, especially when you consider what Mitchell Robinson is going to do on a basketball court or what he can't do on a basketball court. So a pinky injury is not going to affect Mitchell Robinson's game, and it didn't. But you got to be healthy. Look, the Thunder were down a couple of starters, and that really hurt them against the Spurs. Plus, they didn't have an answer for Wemby. But obviously, being the healthiest team will certainly go a long way when you get to the playoffs or, in baseball's case, the postseason. But having these injuries now, maybe, just maybe, it means the Yankees will be fully healthy later in the year. Like, they're getting their injuries out of the way now. Stanton goes on his usual summer sabbatical. Freed, who does go to the IL a lot, now usually it's blisters, but he is no stranger to going to the IL. Even Aaron Judge. Now, more often than not, they're freak injuries, but Aaron Judge has frequented the IL a bunch. So these are the usual suspects, but you'd rather have them healthy now, excuse me, hurt now, and healthy later, and they might have more in the tank when you get to October because they were out for a while. That's more for Stanton and Judge. And Fried, I guess innings logged and things of that nature, but Max Fried has his own October demons that he has to get over. The one guy I'm pretty convinced is going to be amazing is Schlittler. Not just because of how great he was in October against Boston, although that certainly has a bit to do with it. It's just he's just built differently. He's just unbelievable. He's really as top line of anybody in baseball right now as far as starting pitcher. And I think that's a huge weapon for the Yankees. And as long as Fried and Cole can carry their weight as aces as well, you know, 1B and C to the 1A of Schlittler. And I said that before the year, and I'm not trying to take bows. I just think it's important to remind everybody sort of the takes that I had, good or bad. I said Cam Schlittler would be the most dominant, best starting pitcher in the Yankees rotation this year because I just think he's got the best stuff. He's obviously the youngest. He's built different. And I think you've seen that now over the course, not just of last year, but now in his first, you know, really full go around. And you know, under the bright lights of October, he's not going to melt because he had one of the greatest postseason performances, not just in Yankee history, but in baseball history in that game three of the wild card round against Boston. And he's one of those guys that you could tell he uses sort of the any type of hate towards him, sports hate, as fuel. Much like a Jalen Brunson uses it as fuel. You know, the winners, the guys that win championships, that really step up in the big moments, I think those are the guys that are wired in a way where they remember everything negatively said about them through the years. Jordan, Tiger, Brady, guys like that, Jeter, Brunson, hey, you're going to say something bad about me? I'm going to use that to my advantage in the clutch moments because that's how you're remembered, especially in New York, what you do in the clutch, what you do in the playoffs. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation. Let's go to Teddy in Yonkers here on The Fan. What's up, Teddy?
Lugie, hey. I don't care what anybody else says. This is a serious four-game loss in a sweep by Boston, okay? It's tantamount. I don't know what you want to compare it to, but it's a bad omen. I'm concerned about Cole. I'm concerned about Cruz as a reliever. We didn't hit again tonight. We're not hitting.
Lineup's not healthy either, though.
The Dodgers are a much better team than the Yankees. I'm looking at the standings. The Dodgers are better quality.
Dodgers got to get there first. I would worry more about the American League and let the National League kind of play out the way it's going to play out. Because if we had talked about this during the regular season of the NBA, everybody said, well, the Thunder are a much better team than everybody. They're going to be waiting for the Knicks in the finals. And the Thunder didn't get there. So I think you have to worry about your own sort of backyard, which is the American League. So worry about that first. The American League stinks. Now, in turn, so the Yankees have a good path. And as far as the offense, yeah, they're not hitting right now, but they're also down, I don't know, Aaron Judge, Stanton, Grisham. So specifically Judge, I mean, that's going to take a toll on you in the long run, and they were 13-8 going into the series without him. So I hear you, but I think the offense obviously will pick up when they get their reinforcements back, which is not anytime soon for Judge, but eventually when it matters the most at the end of the year in October, they're going, in theory, to have their full lineup.
Lugie, have you thought about the possibility, even if it may be remote, that Judge might not come back this year?
You know what, though? The Yankees were pretty adamant that he would. Now, okay, I'm going to take them at face value. They said they expect, the expectation is for Aaron Judge to be back. I should probably double check the verbiage, but I don't know if it was expectation, but they basically said he's coming back this year. You're right that there always could be a setback, but I would think Aaron Judge would be back mid-August, and if there is even a little setback, you still have time. You only need him in the lineup by October, really. I mean, you know, like him back earlier, but yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm going, Teddy, with the idea that Aaron Judge is going to be back.
What are your concerns about Cole?
Okay, so my concerns with Cole are the same they were, but in the beginning, when he first came back, I thought, oh, maybe I'm wrong. But they were that, hey, this is an older pitcher for, you know, baseball standards. Not an old man in life, but old man pitching. And right. He's coming back off a major injury. I don't think he's going to be the Gerrit Cole that we remember, which was a top-of-the-line stud, number one guy in a staff. The good thing here is he doesn't have to be. He could be a third starter. Now, right now, he's not pitching well. But I do think ultimately Cole will round into shape and will be a third starter on the Yankees, which for any other team is like a second starter, you know, a number two guy. So I'm not worried about Cole either, especially when you consider you have Schlittler and Fried in front of him.
All right.
I do have concerns. That my concerns are you're not getting anything from catcher. My concerns are the bullpen is shaky. You know, Bednar's pitching well now, but we've seen him be a roller coaster. How do you get to Bednar, you know, sort of day in and day out? I think the Yankees have to be aggressive there at the deadline. And then just the overall concerns of the Yankees, Teddy, to your point that you made earlier, is that when it gets to October, will they consistently hit? That's the thing to me that always sort of bites them in the behind is their lack of consistency offensively. So will they hit consistently in October? That is a concern of mine, but only time will tell on that. We're not going to find out for a few months.
Lugie, thanks for the information,
yeah.
And thanks for giving me the time.
No, you got it, Teddy. Always a pleasure to give you that time. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation. We'll keep it going with the Yankees. We will, so if you're on hold right now, you want to talk Yankees, we'll get to you right away. So no worries on that. We will open up the floor, though, for the Mets. Obviously a very busy weekend in Metland, starting on Friday morning when we got the news of Carlos Mendoza getting fired. David Stearns would then meet the media. Steve Cohen is expected to meet the media sometime soon. So we'll talk about all the things that transpired over the weekend. We'll look to the future of the Mets with their managerial situation. I do want to, as I always do as Positive Tommy, want to lay out some positives with the Mets right now. We'll even get into the Knicks, but that's coming up a little bit later on. I'll give you some of the info on that. But baseball heavy early, Yankees, and then the Mets will be mixed in here as well. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. 139 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get back to those calls in just one second here. But first, this Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. Jazz Chisholm getting tossed last night is completely unacceptable. Now, I defended Jazz Chisholm with the whole lollipop situation. I didn't think that was a big deal. I thought it was totally overblown. I thought it was a lot of false, fake outrage from those that were upset. You could chew gum, you could chew sunflower seeds. I don't see what a lollipop really has to be that much of a bigger difference than both of those things. You could certainly choke on gum just as easily as you could choke on a lollipop. I don't think it's unprofessional. I don't think it's a big deal. The lollipops are already in the dugout. So I don't think there's a sign on the lollipops that says, hey, you can't enjoy them on the field. You can only enjoy them in the dugout. It was not like Jazz Chisholm was enjoying a three-course meal at second base. It was not like he was grilling hot dogs and hamburgers at second base. He was sucking on a lollipop on a nice summer night. If a ball got hit to him, if it was right at him, I'm sure he would have fielded it, thrown it to first base. If he had to go into the hole or to his left or right or whatever the case may be, and he had to dive, I'm sure he would have taken the lollipop out of his mouth and thrown it on the floor, which I know is littering and you don't want to litter, but he or somebody with the grounds crew could have picked up said lollipop. So I defended Jazz there, and Jazz, the next night, ended up hitting a big home run. He celebrated with the blow pop, so Jazz got the last laugh there. Here we are a couple days later, and I can't defend Jazz Chisholm. I will say I did get a chuckle out of the cam that they had there, a camera angle, which I guess was attached to the umpire, so you see Jazz's reaction, and you kind of see him mouth, I think, the potty language that got him ultimately ejected from the game. But when you are shorthanded like the Yankees are, and you are playing for trying to not get swept and to avoid an embarrassing, awful weekend, you know, if you're Jazz Chisholm, you got to be less selfish there. You got to be smarter, and you can't get rung up there and get thrown out of the game. You can't. Even if you think you're 100% in the right, you got to be smarter in that spot. And you got to know the situation and know that your team is depleted and know that you have to be not in a situation or find yourself in a situation where you get tossed. But that's exactly what happened. And then apparently, Jazz did not meet the media after the game, or as I like to call it, he skipped the podium, which is a big no-no in my world. And this is sort of the roller coaster of Jazz Chisholm. You love him, you hate him, you love him, you hate him. I'm sure he'll hit two home runs tonight. That's just kind of the roller coaster ride of Jazz Chisholm being on your baseball team. And most of the time, I think it's harmless in this situation, because talking into your locker like he did maybe like a year or two ago, I don't know, not that big of a deal to me. Having a lollipop at second base, not a big deal to me. But when you do something to hurt your team, then I think it's a big deal. And that's exactly what he did last night, because now the Yankees probably should have won the game either way, but you don't know that at the time where he gets ejected. You're being no hit. You know, Jazz has to be a little less selfish there and a little bit smarter and a little more self-awareness of the situation, which is if you're going to put yourself in that spot, you could get toss, and if you do, you leave your team in a bigger hole than they're already in with the amount of injuries and the depleted sort of bench that they have going into this game. James is in Rockland County here on After Hours. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, Tommy. Hey. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
A couple things. First of all, about Hunter Goodman, I don't understand why the Rockies wouldn't trade Hunter Goodman. They're a team that's been in the dumps of the MLB for a long time, and since he has a lot of time left on his deal, they could cash in for a lot of prospects.
Yeah, it seems like he's got one year left, right? Or he's arbitration eligibility is in 2027, so he's got a little bit left.
I thought he's under control for a couple more years.
Yeah, so 2 years, it sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying he's hitting 25 home runs. Somehow he didn't make the All-Star team. I'm not sure how that happened, but yeah, he's been on a tear this season. He hit 3 home runs the other day. I don't understand. That would be perfect for the Yankees. Short porch, right? It would be amazing for the Yankees.
Yeah, he's a guy that I talked about a bunch this year. He had 31 home runs last year. He's got 25 this year. He's one of the best offensive catchers going right now. Now, the Rockies are certainly a team that has been rebuilding for a while. They're better this year, but they're, I don't think, going to contend for a playoff spot. If they were able to get a haul for the Yankees, perhaps they would go in that direction. Hunter Goodman would certainly be at the top of my list, though, if I'm the Yankees. You get a big-time right-handed hitting catcher with a ton of pop. I think that would just be make total sense if you're Brian Cashman.
And also, by the way, NBC screwed up the night.
Yes,
I cannot find the game for forever. It was so annoying.
Yeah.
They screwed it up. Thank you, Tommy.
Yeah.
I'll leave you with that.
Jimmy, James, I appreciate it. And you're not alone there. Now, if you didn't watch the game or you don't know what James is talking about, so the Travelers Championship, which obviously takes place every year up in Connecticut, which I believe it was a different weekend this year than in years past. I normally go up to the Travelers with a couple buddies, but this year we didn't go. Last week was Father's Day. It was also the U.S. Open. I think that's usually the Travelers Championship weekend. Either way. And it's normally on CBS. this year was on NBC. I think NBC lost a tournament or something like that, and this is why they gained the Travelers Championship. So there was a rain delay or stoppage of play in the final round on Sunday at the Travelers Championship, which, oh, by the way, is going to a playoff tomorrow morning with Scottie Scheffler and Victor Hovland. Scotty drills just a par putt on 18 like only Scottie Scheffler can do. But anyway, because there was a delay, the coverage extended further than NBC planned, obviously. And because of that, the first few innings of the Yankee game were not on NBC. So you had to go to another channel or to Peacock or find another NBC platform to see the game. Now, first of all, there are plenty of people that might not have those platforms, number one. Number two, NBC didn't do a good enough job of letting you know, hey, if you're trying to find Yankees, Red Sox, and listen, this is the Yankees. Now, I know the Red Sox aren't the Red Sox anymore, but still, there's a lot of Yankee fans lining up to want to see this game. And even if you're a golf fan, you're like, where the heck are the Yankees? You got Larry David calling everybody. Your Aunt Rose doesn't know where the game is. Your Uncle Louie doesn't know where the game is. So how many phone calls did you have to receive telling them to go to Peacock or go wherever to get the game? An alternative NBC channel. But I can understand where that would be frustrating. And NBC is just getting back into the Sunday night baseball game. Their hands were probably tied with the Travelers Championship, meaning in all likelihood they couldn't move the golf somewhere else. So baseball had to get bumped. And I don't even want to sit here and say, well, it was only a couple innings. You want to see your team. You want to see the game, and you want to see it from as soon as you turn the television on. And even if you go to the channel, in this situation, NBC, and the game is not there because of circumstances outside of the control of them, like, nobody's blaming them for the weather that took place, and it was a weekend of a lot of rain. So the Travelers had a rain delay or a weather delay on Sunday, and because of that, the final round got pushed back later. That's no fault of NBC. And the fact that they probably couldn't bump the golf somewhere else, again, no fault of theirs, but you have to be a little bit more proactive in letting people know what the deal is. Because it wasn't just Larry David and your Aunt Rose and Uncle Louie that didn't know where the game was. I have people in the business that couldn't find the game either. Like, my phone was like lighting up with the group texts and just texts. Where's the game? Where's the game? And you know this as sports fans. As long as we know where the game is. Yeah, we'll complain about it if it's on some streaming network that we have to sign up for if we don't have it. But as long as we know where it is, at least that, you'll make most people happy. It's when you think it's somewhere and you can't find it. Sports fans, my fellow sports fans, tend to panic. Where's the game? Where's the game? Can't find the game. And that creates a lot of anger, not only in our last caller, but I know many of you out there. Many, 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 many. Some we won't even hear from. Many we won't hear from. But I know a lot of you out there, because social media was going nuts, my cell was blowing up, people were just pissed off about it. Where's the game? Larry David was calling everybody. Where's the game? Nobody could find it. And then ultimately, once the Travelers wrapped up, which it would have been funny if NBC caught a small break here because it went to a playoff, but because of obviously it being around 8:30, they decided to do the playoff tomorrow morning instead of replaying. I think they go back to hole 18. Could you imagine if that went to a playoff and they kept going tonight and you would have had even more of the game not being on NBC. So NBC dodged a little bit of a bullet there with the Travelers going to Monday morning and not playing an extra hole or two or whatever it ended up or will end up being. But yeah, you always want to inform the public of what's going on. It's not NBC's fault that there was weather delays. It's not their fault that they probably couldn't move the Travelers Championship somewhere else. And it's always easy for, listen, there are probably people that are watching the golf that aren't watching the baseball. So it's easy to be like, well, we're the baseball fans. You got to put our game on here and it's Sunday Night Baseball. It's like, well, there's probably people that would be annoyed if the golf went somewhere else. So don't be so selfish. No, but there's always two sides of this. But for the baseball fans, the Yankee fans that were, and I'm sure the Red Sox fans are just in general, they were confused, angry, and then downright aggravated trying to find where the Yankee game was. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation. Phil is in Sheepshead Bay on the
phone. Hey, Tommy, how are you doing?
Phil, I'm doing good. Were you able to find the game? Were you able to find the game last night, Phil, or not?
No, I couldn't find it. I thought it was a rain delay, and then they didn't announce that. No. So sometimes they say, we're rain delay.
Yeah. No,
they didn't say anything, and I was a little frustrated because watching golf sometimes can be a little boring.
I hear you.
So the idea was, here's my second point. They had on, after the game, an interview with Aaron Boone.
Yes.
He came out and said, we're just not hitting.
Yeah.
It's more than that. The bats went silent. I've never seen all these guys in a row. They're a little harmless, they're ground balls, they'll fly out, nothing. They're not, it's like, I don't know if there's no purpose to it, they fell asleep. But the way Boston is playing this year, it's embarrassing. They got swept in four games.
Yeah, I think that's a good word for it. Embarrassing. I mean, Boston went into this series, I thought it was 13, but either 12 or 13 home wins on the year. And they just got four on the Yankees in this series. But yeah, the offense, I think that for the first time, Phil, you miss Aaron Judge, you miss Stanton, you miss Grisham.
Yeah,
because
there
was no production all weekend long.
Uh-huh. Well, what do you think? You think come the draft or trading deadline, they're going to look to pick up a bat?
Yes.
And maybe a reliever or two?
Yeah, I would say.
What's the deal with that?
2 to 3 relievers, I would say, just like they did last year, they got 3 relievers, and they need a bat, especially at catcher. I mean, that to me is top priority offensively. You got to find. Austin Wells is just not hitting. I mean, he's 157.
It's called production.
Yeah.
There's no production as a catcher.
Zero. He's giving you nothing.
The guy, okay, so he bunted. He got away with something. He stole the base, which I was very surprised. But as far as hitting in the clutch and hitting for production and hitting line drives, I don't even see it. It's gone. I'm going to leave you with that. Have a good evening.
You got it, Phil. Good to talk to you. Yeah, Austin Wells is downright dreadful. 10 RBIs were about to hit July 1st. For the starting catcher of the Yankees, 10 RBIs and we're about to hit July? We're at the midway point of the season? He's on pace for 20 RBIs. He's batting .157. Austin Wells is. That is not going to cut it. It's not. So I think the Yankees will definitely be in the market for a catcher. I think they will be in the market for several relievers. I would not go the route of trading for Skubal. I think that would be, look, it's not a mistake to trade for him. I just think there are other needs and other ways to allocate assets that you have to get said players here that would be more advantageous than trading for Skubal, unless you know something about Fried that we don't know, which I don't think is the case, unless you're worried about Cole. I don't know, or you just want to have the greatest rotation ever assembled, but I don't see the need for Skubal when you consider that you have 3 big-time pitchers in your rotation. It is not an area. Now, you want depth, but the Yankees also have depth. You know, Weathers and Warren, like, you have guys behind the 3 studs. Rodon, say what you want about the guy, but he is an all-star caliber pitcher. And you could certainly do a lot worse, whether he's a swing starter in October or a fourth starter, whatever you want to make him, out of the bullpen. You know, they got the arms. The starters are not the problem. It's the bullpen. That's the problem. And by the way, Spencer Jones getting pinch hit for, I mean, that tells you that he's not ready for prime time. Spencer Jones. And Spencer Jones has a lot of promise. I think he has a lot of ability. He's really good defensively. You know, much like Aaron Judge, you would think the size and the height and that would work against him defensively. It actually doesn't. Spencer Jones is really, really good defensively and has shown that. But offensively, he just looks overmatched right now. We know he has a ton of power, but clearly the confidence is not there with him if they're going to pinch hit for him. And Spencer Jones, I'm glad that he's getting this opportunity, but he hasn't made the most of it. And right now you feel like he's one of those players that is too good for AAA, but not good enough for the majors. Ultimately, we're going to find out if he's good. I think he will be, but the early returns on Spencer Jones have not been great, especially offensively. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. You want to join the conversation, if you're on hold right now, we'll get to you. We will open the floor for the Mets coming up. I will give you my leading candidate that I want the Mets to go after. We'll talk about the weekend that was with the Mets, especially managerial-wise. Stearns meeting the media on Friday. Steve Cohen expected to meet the media sometime soon. Steve himself talked about it on Twitter. He didn't give a date. He didn't give a time. He just said soon, which could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be next week. Soon is a vague term, but I'm happy that Steve Cohen at least broke his Twitter silence, and it sounds like he's going to break his speaking silence as far as meeting the media in some capacity. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is a Lugie here in the late night. Tommy Lugauer, the phone number to call, 888-808-1019. Another 3 hours to go here on a big Lugowski. Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.